KSJE and the Farmington Public Library present Quinto's Hana and Tales.
Hi, my name is Lisa Vest and I'm with the Farmington Public Library. Today I'm going to be reading for Quinto's Hana and Tales. The first book I will be reading is called The Dirty Cowboy by Amy Timberlake. At the end of two fence lines and right at the rock called the Praying Iguana lived a cowboy in a tin-roofed shack. Every morning he'd call his dog, mount his horse, and spend the day tracking stray longhorn cattle on the New Mexico range. Every evening he'd stoke his fire and fry up some bacon, beans, and potatoes while whistling the streets of Laredo. Now, one morning, and no one knows for sure what drives a man to do it, this cowboy decided to clean himself up. Regular bathers would have said the signs had been plenty clear. The cowboy's hair housed 32 fleas and a small gray spider. On three recent occasions, he discovered a tumbleweed in his chaps. A flurry of flies flocked round his body, buzzing so persistently that he experienced a distinct loss of hearing in his left ear. And the cowboy's stench stuck to passers-by like mud splashed from a wagon wheel. But whatever his reason, on that fateful day, the cowboy picked a doodle bug out of his right eyebrow and said, "This old boy needs a bath." It takes most of a day to get to the river. A cowboy travels by five fence lines and turns left at the rock known as the Coyote Cries. So the cowboy saddled his horse, packed up 22 strips of jerky, a canteen of water, and a nearly new bar of lye soap, and called for his dog. The dog opened one eye, sniffed at the air, and followed his friend's warm, familiar smell as though he was following a trail of T-bone steaks. Off they went. A long, rambling ride later, the river came into view. It was a sight for sore eyes. The river idled round red boulders, and afternoon sun spangled the water copper and gold. The cowboy tied his horse near water, grass, and a bit of shade. Then he removed his boots and spurs. He unfastened his neckerchief and pulled off his socks, vest, shirt, pants, and long johns, and heaped them at the dog's feet. Above the dog's head, he hung his hat on a spindly bush of screw bean mesquite. "Dog," he said, "no one touches these clothes but me, hear?" Then yelling, "Woo-wee!" the cowboy ran, naked as a newborn pack rat, straight into the water. He scrubbed his face, his nose, his eyebrows. He lathered his arms. He lathered his legs. He soaped under his knees, into his armpits, and over his belly. He buffed his toenails till they shone like little moons. He washed behind his ears, around his elbows, and across his Adam's apple. He sang songs about rivers flowing, cattle lowing, and cowboys crowing. Water spurted between his teeth and slapped under his hands. When the river ran clear and his skin puckered up like a prickly pear, the cowboy declared his bath done. He shook himself off and went to get his clothes. Maybe his duds could use a little soaping, too. Now, that old dog was guarding the cowboy's clothes just as he'd been told. And as the cowboy got closer, the dog sniffed the air, paused for a look, then sniffed again. He observed a lopsided lope and heard warbly singing, both characteristic of his cowboy. But still, the dog thought something wasn't right. Where was that sweaty, wild, boar-like smell that clung to the cowboy like a second pair of clothes? Where was the smell of black pepper and mesa mud? And where, oh where, was the smell of cow? That settled it. If a cowboy doesn't smell like cow, it ain't a cowboy. So whoever was headed the dog's way wouldn't be touching those clothes. "Rrrr," said the dog, baring both his teeth. "Come on, dog," said the cowboy, chuckling. "Give me my duds." "Grrr," said the dog, backing up till he was squatted atop the filthy heap. The cowboy laughed again and reached for his pants, a corner of which stuck out from under the dog's paw. The dog took a jump for the cowboy's arm. The cowboy leaped back, tripped over a rock, somersaulted, and splashed into the river at the horse's feet. "Yow!" said the horse, rearing buck-eyed and tripping aside to watch both the cowboy and the dog warily. "That's about as funny as a kick in the behind with a sharp-toed boot," the cowboy mumbled to himself. "Dog," said the cowboy, water running off his chin as he pulled himself out of the river. "You get." He pointed to a pile of rocks far in the distance that looked like a giant horned toad. "Grrr," said the dog, raising his head. "You heard me," said the cowboy. "Get." "Grrr," said the dog for emphasis. Nothing the cowboy said or did could convince the dog of the cowboy's identity. The dog refused to budge from atop the clothes. The cowboy picked up a stick and threw it. "Fetch," he said. The dog and the cowboy watched the stick land with a thud a good 10 feet away. The cowboy put his hands on his hips and called the dog by his full name. "Eustace Shackleford Montana." The dog turned around on the pile of clothes and lay down. The cowboy sang the dog's favorite ballad, "Biscuits of Fire and a Mexico Moon." The dog joined in with a howl during the chorus, but raised his hackles when the cowboy made a grab for the clothes. Finally, when the cowboy noticed the lowering sun getting stuck in the tines of a saguaro cactus, he decided it was time for action. He'd wrestle that dog till the dog plain gave up. Heck, the dog only had 2 teeth. Now, this is the truth, and the horse will testify. Right there and then, that dog and that cowboy made the biggest dust devil the West ever saw. Wrestling dirt swirled into the sky, forming a sticky brown cloud. But the dog and the cowboy didn't notice. The dog was up, the cowboy was under. The dog wiggled sideways, the cowboy finagled the other ways. Grime got into everything. Dust stiffened the cowboy's hair, crept between his eyelashes, and staked a claim on his eyebrows. The dog's nose turned muddy, and his tongue slopped in a wet grit that rivaled the muck of a pigsty. Meanwhile, dirt sullied the clear New Mexico air. The clothing didn't fare too well. All that tussling took its effect. First, the stitching started to give, then the buttons popped. And then, thread on thread gave way with a ripping sound like creaking before thunder. Pretty soon, that dust devil filled with color. Long John red, neckerchief yellow, sock blue, and even fancy vest purple. Why, it almost looked like a smudgy rainbow. Finally, the cowboy and the dog found themselves squared off over the shirt. The dog had the back of the shirt, the cowboy had the right arm, and they were pulling each other in circles, tugging this way and that. The cowboy catapulted onto his behind. "Shoot," said the cowboy. In his hand was the right arm of his shirt. The back of the shirt lay at the feet of his panting dog. Meanwhile, the saguaro cactus was now cradling the sun in the crook of one arm. So the cowboy walked over to his horse, pulled a piece of jerky out of his pack, and sat on a rock to gnaw things through. Now that dog had a chance to sniff again, and slowly the cowboy began to smell in perspective. The dog smelled tumbleweed, prickly pear, and wet mud. When the cowboy wiped his brow, a wash of sweaty wild boar trickled the dog's nose. And finally, the cowboy sighed. The cowboy's breath smelled like black pepper and cow jerky. It was the dog's cowboy after all. "Oh," said the dog. But it was too late for apologies. What was done was done. The cowboy found his hat and his boots, but most all of his clothes were best set aside for patchwork quilts or for scrub jays making their nests cozy. There wasn't much of anything for a grown cowboy. Not long afterward, the sticky dust devil cloud cracked open and rained. The cacti burst into bloom like firecrackers, and suddenly the landscape was dotted with color and ribboned with water. The cowboy sighed and ruffled the dog's ears. "Why, look at that, Eustace," he said. "Ain't that purty?" The dog looked up at the cowboy and licked his fingers. The cowboy laughed.
You sure are a sight, he said,
plucking nettles out of the dog's hide.
The story goes that the cowboy walked home, bare as a shorn sheep, from the river to his tin-roofed shack. He wore his boots and his hat, but otherwise he was naked as a nickel. The horse, skittish after all that wrangling, was led by his bridle. The dogs trotted at the cowboy's side, hoping for jerky handouts. The rain fell the whole way home. The rainwater was so grimy, the fresh soaking didn't clean off the wrestling dirt at all. But as the cowboy looked up into that dust devil sky, he had an idea. Next year's bath, he'd bring a bristle brush. And that was The Dirty Cowboy by Amy Timberlake. The next story I'm going to be reading today is called Cowpoke Clyde and Dirty Dog by Lori Mortensen. Cowpoke Clyde propped up his feet. His house was clean, his chores complete. He'd even washed the kitchen floor and shooed the horse flies out the door. Then right behind his cooking pot, he spied one thing he'd plumb forgot. Old Dog, his faithful snoring friend, all caked with mud from end to end. Clyde looked around his tidy shack. I'll scrub him down, then come on back, eat my soup and take a nap. Why, washing dog will be a snap. Clyde set his hat and grabbed a rope, filled some buckets, snatched the soap. But right before he sprung his plan, Old Dog woke up and off he ran. Spilling all the black bean soup, shooting through the chicken coop. Chickens' fur and feathers flew, stirring up a filthy brew.
Gazooks, yelled Clyde, this ain't a no joke. Come back here, boy, and get your soak.
But Dog ignored his mighty pleas. Instead, Dog left a trail of fleas. Pesky fleas that jumped and bit. Fleas that caused a scratching fit. Clyde called to Dog, don't run away. Come get your bath, and then we'll play. Dog paid no mind, so with a cry, Clyde swung his ropes and let it fly straight at that ornery, dirty dog, but missed his mark and roped a hog. A hog so big it snapped the rope, a hog that skittered in the soap. Soon, chickens, fleas, and one fat hog were getting soaked instead of dog. Clyde curled his lips and set his brow. He'd get that dog some way, somehow.
Come on now, boy, he called real sweet. Come here and get your favorite treat. I got a bone, some jerky too. Smell it? See? It's just for you.
Dog sniffed the air across the flats. But instead of dog, Clyde got six cats. Six cats that hissed and fluffed their tails. Six cats that toppled soapy pails. Now chickens, fleas, six cats, a hog, were getting soaked instead of dog. Clyde came up with the perfect trick. He climbed aboard his wagon quick.
This will fool Old Dog, he cried. Get up now, boy, let's take a ride.
Dog circled round and twitched an ear. Clyde bowed his time till Dog came near. Then just like some pathetic fool, Clyde sneezed and startled his old mule. A mule that brayed and broke the hitch, a mule that kicked Clyde in a ditch. Now chickens, cats, a mule, a hog, were getting soaked instead of dog. Clyde cursed the mule, tucked in his shirt, wiped off feathers, fur, and dirt.
Fine, he yelled. I don't care none.
He kicked a pail. Old Dog had won. Clyde shooed the chickens, cats, and hog, and swore one day he'd get that dog. That's when it hit him like a joke.
Forget it, dog. I'll take a soak.
He cleared the mess and grabbed some grub, heated water, filled the tub. Then soaking sweet beneath the moon, he warbled out a cowpoke tune. A tune that rattled like a snake, a tune that set the stars to shake. Then lightning quick, a howling sound split the night and shook the ground. And with an awful splash, Clyde knew he weren't alone. Now there was two. Two that soaked beneath the moon, two that liked to howl and croon. And ever since that fateful night, cowpoke Clyde and dog don't fight. 'Cause when they're filthy head to toe, Clyde and dog know where to go. And that was Cowpoke Clyde and Dirty Dog by Laurie Mortensen. The next book I'm going to read today is called Cowboy Boyd and Mighty Calliope by Lisa Mosier. No doubt about it, folks knew Boyd and Calliope were different the moment they rode in onto the Double R Ranch.
"That's the shortest horse I've ever seen," said Slim. "That's the dustiest horse I've ever seen," said Hardtack.
"That's the lumpiest horse I've ever seen," said Rancher Rose.
"She's a rare one," said Boyd. "Raised her myself."
He patted Calliope's thick hide and slid out of the saddle.
"We're looking for a place to call home. We'd be mighty obliged if you'd let us work on your ranch."
"I suppose we could try it," said Rancher Rose,
eyeing Calliope. "You won't regret it," said Boyd. "I got a real strong belief in Calliope."
Fence mending was the first chore. Calliope did a good job hauling fence posts.
Ka-thud, ka-thud, ka-thud.
But it took a long time.
"I call that real talent," said Boyd.
"I call that real unusual," said Slim.
"I call that real slow," said Hardtack.
"Calliope's not a sprinter, she's more of a plodder," said Boyd, rubbing her dusty nose. "But she's real steady."
Rancher Rose shook her head.
"We'll move the cattle to the north pasture," said Rancher Rose. "You and Calliope ride out on the range and bring home any strays you find."
"Count on us," said Boyd, plodding off on Calliope.
Kerthud, kerthud, kerthud.
"We've found some strays," said Boyd. Calliope wagged her tail.
"That's a prairie dog," said Hardtack.
"That's a drack rabbit," said Slim.
"That's a coyote," said Rancher Rose.
"They were drawn to Calliope's natural friendliness," said Boyd, giving Calliope a hug. "Like chicks to a hen."
Rancher Rose shook her head. She pumped fresh water into the trough.
"You two show Boyd where to bunk. I'll finish here."
When the horses and Calliope finished drinking, Rancher Rose opened the pasture gate.
"Off to bed," she said.
Kerthud, kerthud, kerthud.
Calliope plodded to the pasture and...
blam! Straight through the pasture fence. Blam! Straight through the barn wall. Blam! Straight through the bunkhouse door.
"She just doesn't know her own strength," said Boyd, tucking Calliope in.
Rancher Rose shook her head. Boyd followed Rancher Rose out to the campfire.
"I'm real sorry," said Rancher Rose, twiddling her hat, "but Calliope is not working out."
Boyd stared at the fire and sighed.
"That's a shame. Thing is, I think Calliope would have really surprised you."
He stood up and shook Rancher Rose's hand.
"We'll head out in the morning," said Boyd, "but we sure enjoyed working here, even for a short bit."
That night, a storm hammered the Double R Ranch. Thunder cracked and rain poured in buckets. Hours later, just when the bunkhouse had settled back to sleep, the door flew open.
"The cattle are gone!" yelled Rancher Rose. "Slim, Hardtack, saddle up!"
Everyone rushed out. Boyd stroked Calliope's face.
"This is a dire situation," he said. "But I got a real strong belief in you."
Calliope nuzzled Boyd while he pulled on his boots. When Boyd and Calliope caught up, the cowboys looked worried, and their horses were blowing hard.
"I've never seen a cow so skittish," said Rancher Rose. "Every time we race in, they scatter like tumbleweed in a windstorm. If we don't round them up soon, they'll stampede."
"Mind a Calliope and I try?" asked Boyd.
"Calliope's too slow," said Slim.
"Calliope's too clumsy," said Hardtack.
"Calliope's just what we need," said Boyd, smiling.
Kerthud, kerthud, kerthud.
Calliope plodded into the field, slow and steady. She went up to a baby calf and wagged her tail. She plodded a few steps and looked back. The baby followed. Its mama followed. The whole entire herd followed like chickens to a hen. Blam! Calliope led them all the way home. Blam! Straight through the prickly bushes. Blam! Straight through the tangled briars. Blam! Straight through the bunkhouse door.
You're some kind of animal, said Slim.
You're some kind of cowboy, said Hardtack.
You're Cowboy Boyd and Mighty Calliope, said Rancher Rose, and we'd be mighty obliged if you made your home on the Double R Ranch. We got a real strong belief in you.
Cowboy Boyd hollered, Yip, yip, yippee! Everyone cheered. Mighty Calliope rolled in the dirt. The end. And that was Cowboy Boyd and Mighty Calliope. This has been Lisa Vest with the Farmington Public Library. Please visit our website at www.infoway.org and visit our events calendar to see upcoming events going on at the library.
This has been Quintos Hanna and Tales, presented by the Farmington Public Library and KSJE 90.9 FM.